Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together and worship you like we have today. And Lord, we are a needy people. We need more of Jesus. And we just pray for one another right now. We need this word today. We've got a big week ahead of us, and we need spiritual food today. So Lord, I just pray for every one of us. Lord, as we look at your word, this will be food for our souls. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Are you ready to go? We are in the middle of an 8-part series. Just the introduction, then I really want to get down to what I want to say today. But we're on an 8-part series in the middle of one of the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at the first four parts. So we're actually right in the middle, aren't we? And today we're going to have a look at Romans chapter 5. If you've missed the first 4 parts of this series, I just want to reassure you that each message is complete in itself. So I'll do a very, very quick recap today, not as long as before, but this message is for you today in Jesus' name. I've been encouraging people to read through the book of Romans. I really hope that you've been doing that, at least read through the book of Romans once. And I've also been encouraging you to have a go at memorizing the weekly memory verses. That's quite challenging, isn't it? And we've had 4 memory verses so far, and they're listed in the newsletter each week. So here's the memory verses, just a quick recap. Week 1 was, I am not ashamed. You can read it with me. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving someone, everyone who, Romans 1 verse 16. Week 2, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant and patient God is with you, Romans 2, verse 4. Week 3, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Well done, everybody. And then last week was week 4, that God will also count us as righteous if we... Romans... Wow, I wonder if anybody's managed to memorize those 4 verses. There's a huge reward, a Krispy Kreme. Actually, some hands went up. I've actually heard there's a Bible study in our church at Maureen Whitehurst's house on Wednesdays, and there's a group of ladies coming along to that, and they told Rochelle that they're learning songs for these verses to memorize them. How about that? Isn't that good? So you might want to do that. This week's memory verse is found in Romans 5, verse 8, and it says, but God showed his great love for us by sending... Sounded like everybody was speaking in tongues then. It was great. I'm in a Pentecostal church. So that's memory verse number 5. And some of you know it in other versions. That's the NLT version. And the deal is this. It doesn't matter what version you learn it in, okay? If you're comfortable with King James, that's really good. But that's NLT. And so there you go. And what a great verse. So how's everybody doing with the memory verses? Everybody freezes. I hope you're doing really good. Just a quick reminder that the book of Romans is primarily about the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, it is a dark world, but there's still good news. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. It was written by the Apostle Paul in AD 57 or thereabouts. And we've seen from the first 4 chapters how a person can be forgiven of their sins. That's very, very important, to be forgiven of our sins, to have forgiveness from God. And we've also seen how to be made right with God. So we've been examining those 2 things mostly over the last few weeks. Last week we saw that God credits righteousness to a person when they believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins and rose again from the dead. Is all of this really relevant? All of this stuff? Obviously I think it is. I think it's very relevant for life. But even if I can't convince you that this stuff, you've come to church, you're given your time, you know, time is valuable. You know, I don't want to waste your time. I want to give you something that's relevant and will make this coming week better. I want to make it worthwhile that you came to church today. But even if you don't agree with me that this is worthwhile for life, when it's your funeral, this suddenly is going to become really worthwhile. It's really worthwhile because you're not going to live forever here. You need to be right with God. That's all I've got to say about that. Amen. So today we arrive at Romans chapter 5, and I want to begin with a question that you've got on your screens there. And this is a question: who, according to you, who do you think, who are the two most influential men in all of history? And no, Donald Trump is definitely not one of them, okay? He's influential today, but I'm talking about the two most influential men in all of history. Donald Trump is not one of them. And I've asked you this question because Romans chapter 5 briefly discusses the impact of the world's two most influential men of all time. And there have been a lot of influential men and women. There's influential men and women today. I can't say that word. But the two most influential men in all human history, those two men are Adam and Jesus Christ. And the discussion of these two men, and I'm just going to build, that's how I do things, we're just going to build, so stay with me. The discussion of these two men in Romans chapter 5 not only gives us an explanation as to why there is sin and pain in the world, but more importantly, it gives us a tiny glimpse of God's startling purpose and plan for your life and for my life. Up until now, in our series on Romans, we've talked about how we can be forgiven of our sins, and we've seen how we can be made right with God and go to heaven. These things are wonderful gifts from God. That's a good place to say amen. Okay. But Romans chapter 5 strongly indicates and suggests that the forgiveness of sins and being right with God is just the tip of the iceberg. The good news about Jesus is packed with so much more undeserved treasure. And we're just going to go there a little bit today. Indeed, God has something more for you, whoever you are, and for all those who will trust in Jesus. And that's something that we're going to have just a tiny glimpse at today is huge, mind-boggling, and even really inconceivable. The Bible even says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. The best is yet to come. So what we're going to do is we're going to dig around just briefly and for a few moments in Romans chapter 5, and we're going to find out what God has prepared for you. Are you ready, everybody? Okay, we've built a platform. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin now with our two influential men. Firstly, let's start with Adam. Adam, everybody remember Adam. Adam, of course, was the first man. And Eve was the first woman. Do you remember those two? Yeah, absolutely. So let's remember Adam. So concerning Adam, Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says this. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. Let's say that again. Adam's sin brought death. So death then spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. So all the mess that we are in today, all the mess and the problems of the world, all the wars, all the crimes, all the pain, all the wickedness, all began with our ancestors, Adam and Eve. Thank you, Adam and Eve. Adam has caused more pain in the world than any other person in history. And that's because when Adam sinned, sin entered into the human race. So Adam has negatively influenced the life of every single person on the face of the earth, including you. Thank you, Adam. It's really important, everybody, that we understand that God never created people to be wicked. God never made people to be evil. God never created people to hurt other people. God made Adam and Eve to be good, to be kind, and to be holy. God made Adam and Eve to walk with him and to know him and to enjoy him. That's how it was at the beginning. But somehow, Adam and Eve, somehow they disobeyed God, and by that one act of disobedience, they unwittingly unleashed sin upon the entire human race, and that's why you have problems today. Thank you, Adam. The fall of Adam and Eve was the world's most catastrophic event in all of history that spawned every other catastrophic event that humanity has suffered ever since. So the world's pain had a specific beginning. I'll say it again. The world's pain actually had a specific beginning. And because of Adam and Eve, every person on the face of the earth now has a sin problem. Everybody has a sin problem of epic proportions. Sin has so distorted us more than we realize. In fact, sin has not only invaded our spirits, but it's also invaded our health, our genetics, our thinking. It's even invaded the environment. Everything in our world has a fingerprint of sin upon it. Genesis 6 verse 5 says this, and God that God observed fallen man, and that God, it says that he saw that everything that man did or thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Tragically, when you have a sin problem, then you have a death problem, where a person is ultimately separated from God. For that is what real death is. It's actually separation from God. And so in Genesis 6 verse 7, it says most tragically that God was sorry he had even made people. Look at that verse on your screens for a minute, and this is going to get better in a few moments, but we deal with the bad so the good looks even better, amen? But look, that has to be the saddest verse in the entire Bible. God was sorry. He was grieved, in other versions say, that he was grieved that he even made these people. But thank God that the Bible also says in the next verse, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for that verse, because that began God's rescue plan, and we've been looking at that over the last few weeks. But right now we're just briefly talking about Adam. 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 Adam is your ancestor. Everybody listening? You know, it's really funny when you prepare a message, because you just realize how counterculture it is. I've made several counterculture statements already. I don't know if you've picked them up. One of them was that pain had a specific beginning. Adam is your ancestor. That's counterculture, isn't it? He really was a person who lived. And we may have different ethnic groups here today. Some of you got different colored skin to me. Our skin may vary in color. Our eyes shapes can be different. But we all came from Adam and Eve. We all have the same ancestor. We're all the same. You did not evolve from monkeys. Though I know one or two people I'm not so sure about. seriously. Nobody evolved from monkeys. That abhorrent suggestion is one of the world's biggest and saddest fake news stories of all time. And one of the world's most scientifically implausible myths of all time as well. I'm happy to debate with anybody about that. We all came from Adam. And you and I are just like our ancestor. We are all sinners. Sin has been passed down from generation to generation to generation. So consequently, 1 Corinthians 15:22 puts it bluntly when it says, everyone dies because we all belong to Adam. Yeah. So why is humanity in such a mess today? It's because of Adam and Eve. They got us into this mess when they disobeyed God. But thank God for our memory verse today, because it says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Amen? And over the last few weeks, we've looked at how a person can be made right with God, although we're sinners. So Adam, finishing with him now, is one of the world's two most influential men, and he's the father of all people, and all people are just like Adam. They're just like their father Adam. The other most influential man in all of human history is Jesus Christ. And as you would expect, Jesus Christ is in total contrast to Adam. And Romans chapter 5 emphasizes this contrast. Just let's look at a few scriptures. Romans 5 verse 15 says this: "But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But," see now the next bit is italics, that's the Jesus part now, "but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ." Thank God for the other man, Jesus Christ. Adam brought death, but Jesus has brought grace and forgiveness. What a contrast. It gets even better. Look at Romans 5 verse 18 on your screens. "Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone." Could everybody just look at that verse? See how I've put an underline under the word new life? That is really important because I'm going to visit that a little bit later. And sometimes we read Bible scriptures and we just sometimes don't pick up key words. And new life. Keep that somewhere in the back of your mind. We'll come back to that in a moment. So Adam brought condemnation, but Jesus brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Again, what a contrast between Adam and Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 5 verse 19. It says, "Because one person," obviously Adam, "disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person," we're talking about Jesus, "obeyed God, many will be made righteous." Amen. Note the contrast. And then the final verse of Romans chapter 5 says this: "So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47 adds to this contrast between Adam and Jesus by saying, "Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven." Everybody still with me? Because I know there's a lot of scripture going on here, but this is so important and we're going to get something out of this. So Romans chapter 5 presents two very different men. Adam, Jesus Christ. By being alive, just check to make sure you are this morning. Yep, still am. And by reason of our birth, our natural birth, we all belong to Adam. That's our nature. He's our ancestor from way back. Absolutely. And we've inherited the consequences of belonging to Adam. Thank you. But Jesus stepped into our mess. Jesus stepped into our world, our fallen world. And Jesus has said most profoundly, and to some people even absurdly, that we can belong to him instead of belonging to Adam. We can belong to Jesus instead of belonging to Adam. If you like, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but if you like, in a sense, we can change our primary ancestor from Adam to Jesus Christ. We're going a little bit deep this morning, aren't we? We can change, seriously, our primary ancestor from Adam to Jesus Christ. That's a good place to say, wow. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says in its entirety, "Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone," here's a contrast, "everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life." This is that phrase, new life. You can either belong to Adam or you can belong to. One man offers death, the other man offers new life. Which man do you wish to be your ancestor? Okay, all those who wish Adam to be the ancestor, could you put your hand up? Okay, all those who wish Jesus to be the ancestor, could you? Okay, I've convinced you. Let's put it, throw away most of the sermon then. We're going to ask the, you know, when we say these things, it always forces us to ask questions. And questions are really healthy, by the way. So how do you, and some of you, as really mature Christians, I get this, and as soon as I say what I'm going to say right now, you've got to really be careful you don't switch off, because there's actually a gem in here for you too. We've got to ask the obvious question. How do you change from Adam to Jesus Christ? How do you move, you know, in a practical sense, from darkness to light? Well, you change from Adam to Jesus. Even logically, this will make sense. You change from Adam to Jesus by birth, a new birth. Jesus himself made it clear in the book of John. I'm just going to borrow a few scriptures from the book of John that we needed a new birth. When he said to a man called Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." Quite a remarkable statement. And old Nicodemus would have stood there scratching his head like I am right now, wondering what Jesus was implying with his outrageous statement, because it is an outrageous statement. What does he mean by that? But Jesus then cleared it all up for him when he said in John 3 verse 6, humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Wow, this new kind of birth is different to physical life. It is a spiritual birth. And then Jesus told Nicodemus how to be born again. Some of you are very familiar with this verse. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have. There's that life bit again. There it is again. We are born again when we believe what Jesus Christ has done for us. God then gives us new life. The Bible speaks about these people who believe on Jesus, and it says in John 1 verse 13, it says, these people who believe on Jesus, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. A birth that comes from God. We all know in this room that when you repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, God forgives you. And God makes you right with him. He declares you right with him. God promises you that your sins are forgiven and that you won't be punished for your sins and that you will go to heaven. But for many Christians, that's really where they stop in their understanding of the good news of Jesus Christ. Most Christians, and this is really important, they're just parked on these two gifts here. And they will get to heaven. But according to the book of Romans, we can replace the deathly influence of our old ancestor Adam with the new life influence of our new ancestor Jesus Christ. We learn from Jesus himself in the book of John that when you believe in what he has done for you, you literally become born again. You switch your spiritual ancestor. Something literally happens on the inside of your spirit. I'm not speaking in metaphors or illustrations. I'm talking literal. Something really happens inside of you when you get born again. It's way more than a change of heart. It's way more than a change of attitude. And it's way more than just a change of thinking. The power of God gives birth to a new kind of divine life within your heart. You once were dead to God, but now you're alive to God. Amen. And so 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 declares that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is Adam's gone. The old life is gone. A new life, there it is again, has. The King James Version says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. That is literal. Therefore, God has not only declared you right with him, but he has made you to be a new person, a new creation. That's a good place to say amen. The old is gone. The curse is gone. You're not defined by Adam anymore. Something else and mysterious is going on inside of you. God has birthed you into his family. And sometimes you can feel it. Don't you ever feel sometimes you don't fit? Sometimes you think, I just don't fit. I'll tell you why. It's because you don't. A lot of people like to say, we're all God's children. You know, and I minister to a lot of non-Christian people as well as Christian people. And, you know, and I try to be really diplomatic in the way I speak to people. So, you know, I get what people are at. But everybody goes, you know, we're all God's children. Hey, hallelujah. Kumbaya. people say that. Oh, we're all God's children, aren't we? Yeah. Because it makes them feel good. And I get that. Everyone wants to feel good, but it's just not true. It's a lie. Not everybody's God's children. We're all God's creation, yes, but only those who are born again are truly God's children. That's just how it is. And if you're born again, then you're a new breed of person. You may look like everyone else, but you're not like everybody else. You are different. You are peculiar. You may stumble. Yeah, granted, you may even sin. We spoke about that last week. I'll speak more about that in the weeks to come. But you're still different. You're a daughter or a son of Almighty God. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You once traced your lineage back to Adam, but now you can trace your lineage back to that other man who you've trusted with your life, Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus. We're not the same anymore. You once were like Adam. You were once defined by Adam's sin. You were like everyone else. You once were lost in your sins and going to a lost eternity. But God the Holy Spirit has transformed you into the image of Jesus Christ today. The other man, Jesus, the one who came from heaven, now defines who you are. Not your past anymore. Not your past. So stop living in the past. Not your sin anymore. So stop sinning and let it go. Not what people say about you. Well, stop listening to them. Listen to Jesus. Your humanity has been redefined by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think somebody's going to have a really good week this week. Amen. Praise God. And if you can get a hold of what I'm saying, attempted to say, then the truth of this is just going to splash all on your thinking this week and upon your self-esteem and even upon your behavior. And you will walk in a divine strength that you never knew you had. And when you grasp the significance of who you are in Christ, then you will be able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. You will be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. For greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Before we finish, it even gets better. I nearly finished. Can I just do the best part now? Everybody ready for the best part? Romans 5 verse 1 to 2 says this. This is just an amazing verse. What's really sad about sermons is that they're just so short, because you could really unpack these verses. But Romans 5 verse 1 to 2 says, because of our faith, this is just a great verse, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. What? Look at that. This is an extraordinary verse in the Bible. And it's just an amazing verse. Look at the last line, everybody. Look at the last line. It says, we confidently and we joyfully, what? Look forward to sharing God's glory. This is for people who are born again. We confidently, we're here today, we confidently and joyfully, we're looking forward to sharing God's glory. And that's a shockingly good statement for everybody in this place this morning. Something huge is going on in the Word of God there. That's massive. It's saying here in Romans chapter 5 that we who have been made right with God will one day share God's glory. That is profound in the extreme. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole reason why God made people in his image was to share his glory with them. Adam and Eve shared a little bit of the glory of God. Before they fell into sin, they walked with God in the Garden of Eden. And they actually wore clothes. And the clothes was the glory of God. They were not naked when they were walking with God. They walked with the glory of God as their covering. That's why they didn't need clothes. Then they lost the glory of God, then they needed clothes. God has always wanted to share his wonder, his presence, and his glory with someone who's like him. God made Adam and Eve in his own image to be like him, but sin ruined everything. But God has never once veered away from his original purpose. Never once. He's still on track. His plan of sharing his glory with someone will be fulfilled. And today, God is creating a redeemed people who are made in the image of that other man, Jesus Christ, whom he will one day share his glory with. The Bible calls this group of redeemed people the church, or the bride of Christ. So why do you need to come to church? God deals with us together. Moving along. God loves the church. God loves his church. We are the church. We are the redeemed. So having God forgive you of your sins is just the starting point of what God wants to do with you in your life. God longs to fully share himself with you and clothe you with his glory. Therefore, here's a question, I'm nearly finished. Therefore, in view of these things, why on earth would you ever backslide? Why would you go back to Adam? Seriously? Seriously? Why would you slide back to Adam? Somebody needs to slap you around the back of the head if you're backsliding this morning. Why? Why would you ever chase after the temporal things of the world when the glory of God is coming your way? Why would you give up on being a Christian because of life's troubles? Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see last forever. Praise God. In other words, the best is yet to come. But enjoy the journey while you wait. Amen. In conclusion, the world's two most influential men of all human history are Adam and Jesus Christ. One man will lead you to destruction, while the other man will lead you to the glory of God. Which man are you letting define your life today? I encourage you to trust in Jesus Christ and be born again. And then I encourage you to keep walking in that new life and walk straight into glory when Jesus comes back again for you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's all stand at our feet, shall we? And could the band just come? And Father, as we just stand in your presence just for a moment, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that that word will sink deep into our hearts and into our minds, into our thinking. In Jesus' name. And while every saint of God is praying today, I just want to give an opportunity for somebody here today, maybe more than one. You're not right with God. You're not born again. You never put your trust in Jesus Christ. Well, today you're in a wonderful place. Today, God is speaking to you and he's inviting you to himself, saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. If today you're saying, yes, Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to be right with God. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Just let me know who I'm going to pray for by raising your hand. I'm going to say a prayer for anybody here today who wants to be born again. This is your opportunity before we have communion. Would you like to be born again? If so, put your hand right up in the air so that I can see it. And you know, we spoke about God working in people's lives. Then he's going to work in your life today. Okay, somebody here on my left. Thank you. Anybody? Yeah, I can see that person on my left. Thank you. Anybody else? Wow. And Father, we just pray right now for this person who's just reaching out to you. You just love them to bits. And you are just working in their lives, in their life. And Father, we just pray today as they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that they will be born again and right with God. May they always remember this day when they decided to follow Jesus. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, and they shouted, amen.